This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
My own painful search for identity kind of painted a little bit of a picture of me as a little boy, and talked a little bit about my background. And my parents were in the entertainment business, hardcore partiers, lots of drugs, lots of sex. Severe dysfunction, and we do have a couple different kinds of trauma. You know, you can go through the kind of trauma of things happening to you, and then the kind of trauma of things that don't happen for you that you need. More and more, they're finding out the damage that neglect does to a person. You know, it's pretty severe. My siblings and I, you know, really went through quite a bit of you're just really being saturated in the drug culture, you know, learning to use together as a family, a lot of sexual stuff that went on, but really just kind of being this uncombed hair, no brushed teeth, untaken care of, unkempt, kind of said I was like a little organic chicken running around, free range in my neighborhood. I just really remember clear, and I talked about it, about running out in my front yard. I was probably 7 or 8, and it was around Christmas time. And kind of the Christmas spirit was in the air type thing. And I ran out there and I was like, going to be like all ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And I was just going to shout it to the universe as this little kid. And as I looked up at the sky and saw the stars, it was almost like it was the first time I ever saw, you know, what I was looking at. And I was overwhelmed with like the vastness of everything. And I was just kind of like, just stopped, you know, in the middle of saying that. And the question that was coming out of me as a little boy, if I could put words to it, was basically, you know, what's going on around here? Like, what is all this? The vastness of it all? Who are these people I live with? You know, supposed to be taking care of me or whatever. Like, it's all strange. And who am I? Like, who am I? Very painful, very deep. And I kind of liken that to deep calls to deep that the scriptures refer to. Talks about that. But I had to come to the conclusion that many of us do in our search for identity, that I was not going to find out the answer to that deep question, profound question. I wasn't going to come up with the answer myself. I didn't have it in me. There's no way. You know, I couldn't even figure out how to put my PJs on, you know, with the back and the back and the front and the front, you know. So I wasn't going to figure that one out. And I also realized that I wasn't going to get the answer to that from other people, because other people, even though I came from this hardcore 70s party mood ring wearing family, all that, they also were coming from where their parents were coming from, you know, and they were coming from their own filters and belief systems. And so I knew I wasn't going to get it from other people, you know, couldn't trust it. And then last week I read from the Psalms 139. I read about this astonishing thing that we read, and these statements that are made, and these things that are declared to us, that before your birth certificate had one mark on it, before it was even written on at all, you were known. You were known and you were loved, and your book was already published. Wow, like, I have a book? I have a book. And you have one. And that same Psalms 139 tells us that you were knit together in your mother's womb. This is great stuff. And again, I feel that feeling of don't mess with me. Like, this is great stuff you're telling me. You're speaking right to my heart. And the cool thing about knitting, I got this Afghan. Is that what it's called, an Afghan? I call it an Afstan. Right? The cool thing about knitting is if it's torn or it's stained or it's ruined, you could back up and you can re-knit. And that's exactly what God does for us in a very profound way. If you were adopted from a family of slaves, from generation to generation, slaves, and you were adopted into a very powerful family of kings and queens, you would then inherit a brand new set of relationships, a brand new set of ways of thinking, responsibilities, ways of being, definitely ways of beginning to see yourself, for sure, right? And so, you know, I see this all the time in my own devotional life as a man, and you guys are going to have to do that work. And but even for you ladies, we'll pick on that for a while, pick on you ladies for a little bit. Imagine just going in and taking off the slavery clothes, going through the whole bath thing, the oils, soaking in them, pampered, you know, all the heated little towels. And after you're done soaking in these royal herbs and spices and oils and all these things, you know, then you get dressed, custom design, every square inch of you, tailor-made, and you look amazing. Bam, right? Silver and gold woven into your hair, and you look absolutely stunning. You know, the gloves, everything made to order for you. You are indeed a princess. And you can imagine that, playing dressed up that way or seeing yourself getting doted on and done up that way. And I want you to know, if you can see that, you don't ever have to take those clothes off. Never, ever have to leave that behind, ever. That's yours. Permanently, that's yours. That is your new identity. It's who you are. So last week, I basically, to sum it up, was saying that we have to take off our grave clothes, our old selves, our old identity, my old family from the 70s, my mood ring and all. Take it all off. Take off the grave clothes and put on your grace clothes, huh? Boom. That was pretty cool. I like that. Put on your grace clothes. And you know, many of us would never, ever in a million years imagine leaving our home without looking into a mirror, right? And if I want to know who I am physically, this casing I'm living in, if I want to gaze upon my casing, then I would look into a physical mirror and I could see what I am physically is a Japanese American. So if I want to look into a physical mirror, I'm going to see my physical identity. But if you want to know who you are spiritually, if you want to know who you are inside this casing we live in, if you want to know who you are in this body, you got to look into a spiritual mirror. And that's what this scripture is. It is a mirror telling you who you are, showing you who you are. And I want you to know, many people would never imagine leaving their home without looking into a mirror. But many of us leave home without looking into our spiritual mirror and make sure we know who we are. Super important. And again, this scripture, the Bible, is extremely sharp. How many of you guys know this is super sharp? Sharper than we even understand at all. How many of us have been hurt by its sharpness, right? People come out and use it in ways. I've been hurt by it. Like, whoa, how are you waving that around? Right? Like a religious person will come out, they're like a three-year-old with a knife, and you're like, whoa, this is not going to end well, right? But the scriptures, understand, the scripture is a story, and it is a revelation from God to you of the most expensive rescue operation this world's ever seen. Of all that God has done to give you an identity, to make you his, to bring you home. He's bringing you home. That's the story. It is his rescue mission, a violent one, to get you back. That's the revelation of the scripture. That's who you are. And we have two things. I was going to diagram it on the board, but I don't really need to. We have two things we want to see in this. Is we have the milk of the word, and we have the meat of the word. You got to know both. And you got to understand that about this. Because everybody wants to get up and read the meat. If you're not behaving, you know, let me slap some steak on you. Right? This is what you need, is a real hardcore dish, right? But the Bible says that we are to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. That's what it tells us. And the milk of the word is what we need to grow up. You know, I'm like this baby Christian. I need milk. What's the milk of the word? The milk of the word is all that God has done for me. that I can't do for me. All he's provided for me. Here's a good dose of milk, guys. God loves me. I'm loved beyond words. Doom, doom. Get it? I'm accepted by God Almighty. He's accepted me. Check this one out. He's forgiven me. I am forgiven. The probation officer that's chasing me down, my parole officer, all those warrants canceled. Not going to happen. I'm forgiven. Milk. Boom. So the milk of the word is all that God has provided for me, and I nourish myself with that every day. I need to know I'm loved and cared for. But then the meat of the word is usually found in the second half of most of Paul's letters, and the meat of the word is all God is going to do through you to love other people. What your new potential looks like as a Christian. This is what you are capable of doing. Wow. It's amazing. So it's like breathing. For me, breathe in, love. Breathe out, my significance, my mission. Right? Breathe in, acceptance. Right? Breathe out, love and understanding. Breathe in, my forgiveness. Breathe out, compassion to my fellow man. Like, this breathing must happen. But how many of you guys know that when you leave your life of slavery, just like I have found out, when I leave my life of slavery, my wife and I taking the needles to the dump, taking the drugs, you know, flushing them down the toilet, getting rid of this stuff, leaving slavery behind, there's still some slavery in me. I carry it with me. It's deep. 1 Corinthians 10 talks about basically a list of the children of Israel, the things that happened that kept them out of their promised land. And it's a warning, it says, for us that we are to heed. And it's about really laying a hold of God confidence. My confidence is in God, not in me, not in my behaviors, not in my ability to obey rules, but it's in my faith in Him and Him alone. My trust is in Him and what He tells me is true. Right? Check this out. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly. This is you. This is for you. This is for me. Take this real personal, guys. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. All right, so what's the key here to getting through a detox? You know, what's the key to going through the rewiring process? It's so painful where I believe this is good for me, but I know it's not. Right? Like, what's the key to getting through that garbage? What's the key to breaking some terrible habits that I know I need to break, that I want to break, that I want to lay hold of, this new way of living? The key is found in a thing called His body. His body. That's the key to getting through that garbage in those really painful times. If somebody came running up here, like, let's say Kaylin jumped up out of her chair for no reason, and just kick me in the stomach. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? Have you seen her kick? She can kick really hard. What would I do? I would go, oh. See what I just did? Right? Oh. This is what we do. My body instantly knows to surround the wound with itself, right? When I hurt myself, ow. Right? I surround it with me. In the same way, we have to learn how to surround each other. If you're hurt, you're wounded, we're all here. How many of us have done that prayer thing where we circle around someone, we just love on them in prayer, lift them to God? You know, remember we did that with Clay, and he was running around here glowing in the dark all night. Remember that? He was actually really good at volleyball that night, too. I'm just kidding. He was just like, wow, you know, the body of Christ. Surrounding a brother. So my daughter and I have been studying some Navy SEAL stuff. One of the reasons I've been studying Navy SEAL stuff is because I am nothing like a Navy SEAL. There isn't anything about me that's like a Navy SEAL, but it's very interesting. I probably couldn't even get through the application. Like, man, all these questions. I give up. That's it. I tap out. It's too hard. They want me to print the whole thing. These guys, I tell you, and a lot of you guys already know this stuff, but they do this thing with these Navy SEAL guys, and they pick out these teams. They handpick them. They form them. They're super intentional about it. They're really, really smart. Got this stuff down. And everything they do is around building a team. Building a team, building a team. And they'll get like this 600-pound log, and they'll have all these maneuvers they got to do with this blasted log, right? Running around, lift it over here, do this, run down there, bring it back. I mean, it's insane. And it's all about the team. Now, how many of you guys know you can't possibly do that by yourself? And that's why they do that. Like, you guys can't do any of this alone, and we're going to put you in this situation where you need this team, and it's got to work. Because you can see I'm trying to do it, it's tough, right? The worst thing you could be called or considered to be in a Navy SEAL team, the worst thing you could be called is an individual. Wow. Like, that hit me, right? Because I've lived a life of addiction. I've been in my little truck alone my whole life. Got my little pills. Got my little mission, got my little plan, how I'm going to make me look and feel good. It's my plan. It's all me. Everything's about things I can do, I can accomplish, I can do it alone. I am an individual. Wow, that's painful stuff. Check this out. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. Two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord, not easily broken. Many of you guys know that. Could you guys imagine a little toddler? Just imagine there's a whole bunch of them running around in here today, right after church. Imagine a little toddler hurting himself pretty bad. And you imagine him not running to his parents. Could you imagine how weird that would look? Like if he hurt himself bad. And then he ran off somewhere, hid in the corner. He's laying in there bleeding, severely hurt. That would look strange. Wouldn't it look strange? We know that. But yet I will be hurt so bad in my person, wounded, hurt, feeling ashamed. And I will immediately go off by myself. I won't go to my father. I won't go to his body. I won't share the pain. Won't bring it out. Oh no, I'm going to go run up and I'm going to self-medicate. I'm going to find a way, right? So everyone has a 600-pound log in some way. We all have one. And we have a mission around it. Orders about how that's going to be moved, how that the maneuvers are going to happen, and they have to happen. But what I see a lot, and this happened with me most of my life, is you set that log up in your living room, you put some throw pillows on it, carve some cup holders out in that bad boy. What do you mean, move it? This has been in my family for three generations. I ain't moving this. Now they can't be moved. Really? Wow. That's pretty amazing. There's a lot of truth there. Okay, guys, here we're going to get hammer down time, right? Hammer down. Hammer down. Here we go. If you've just gotten out of a program of any kind, I want you to hear this with all my heart. If you just entered a program, I want you to hear this with all of my heart. I want you to hear this scripture to the bottom of your heart. If you struggle with addiction, if you've been in FCC, if you've just gotten out of North Star, if you've just been through a divorce, if you've walked out any addiction, if I've just read this to you in the last month, you ready? Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. Boom. Let me do that again. Boom. Right? Slow motion. Boom. Did you guys hear that? You know, my wife and I totally, we went, one of the first times we walked into a church, you know, she's this biker chick, we're running around, we're in these establishments, drinking, smoking, carousing, causing trouble, being all weird, and they would come over to us and say, you're going to have to leave, you can't stay here. Please leave, right? This happened to us. Waking up by the Chena River, butt naked, I'm drinking all night. I remember seeing this canoe going by, and I'm like, whoa, I believe I'm sunburned, right? They're all going by. That's true. But we went into this church. I don't know where it was. She could tell you where it was, but we went in there. And just think of where we're coming from, right? I was a crackhead. I was in these deep places of crack addiction and needles and all this stuff. And this groups that I did run with back in South Florida. And she's this person. We're just loser, loser, loser all over. I got documents to prove the losing I was involved in. All right? And we went into this church, and they were doing this pie raffle fundraising with pies. They all baked a pie, and then they were fundraising. And they're all trying to raise money by selling their little cute religious-looking pies, right? That was kind of our attitude, like, oh, look at that pie. Ooh, isn't that nice? And they were laughing, and they were sparkling, and they were cracking up, and they had money going all over the table, and they were raising it. Oh, I don't care. $75 for that stupid apple pie, whatever, that's all caved in or whatever. And they were doing it, and they were loving it, and they were laughing, and her and I were literally sitting there going, what in the world? There ain't no bottle being passed. They're not running off to the bathroom, heading off to the car. They were all sitting right there where we could see them in plain sight, joy. And they were laughing, and we felt super uncomfortable. Super uncomfortable. And I'll tell you right now, when people come out of North Star, or they come out of FCC, or they get in this whole probation cycle, they don't feel comfortable around us. They come in here, and they hear us laughing, and they see the joy, and they see all of it, and they feel a million miles away. And I know how that feels, because that's how we felt. And the worst thing a person could do is not heed this strong, strong statement about who we were going to be around and who we were going to chase and who we were going to be comfortable with. Forget comfortable. Like, I needed to let go fighting to be comfortable. People that fight to be comfortable never get beyond the things that they need to break. Never. I'm not comfortable with them, you know? Super, super tough. And guys, I know this is difficult stuff. Like, super difficult stuff. To come into a group of people that have been married to the same person, like, their whole life, that kind of stuff. Wow. Like, I would ask them questions. How do you do that? I remember telling, you know, Dave and Flora, I remember telling them, like, she never hits you. No shoving, you know, nothing. I mean, what do you guys do? And they talk me through stuff about having bad days, about what they do with their attitudes. Anyway, these guys, these Navy SEALs, they would pick a team, 5-6 guys in these little rafts, these black rafts. They were super bad. And he showed them, right? Morgan and I were watching this. And they would jump in these boats. This is super cold water, guys. Huge waves. And they would go, go. And all the teams would run out and they would jump in. And they would just get bashed by these icy cold waves. And they were just like, I mean, people were getting injured. And they're hauling them up. And because you got injured, give me 500 push-ups, you know. While they're like hose in the face. You know, how dare your ankle twist. You know, and they're all, oh, yes, sir. You know, and they're going through this. These guys got it down on a level where not only did they go out and do that with huge waves, bam, and they got it to where they overcame that. As a team, they did it. They did it. Then guess what? They did it at night. And then guess what? They did it on rocks. A beach of rocks. At night, out, back in, intact, silent. Oh, did I hear you? Oh, did I hear you? 500 push-ups. I mean, it's just insane. So I ask you this, and I say all this to say this, who's your boat crew? Who's your boat crew, guys? You got to have one. This isn't easy either. It's super hard to find, to form. Who's got that kind of thing where, and you know what, if you're going to be offended, you're going to get into a group, you're going to get hurt, dip your toe in, ouch, I'm out, you're not going to make it. You're out. Not going to make it. I mean, to wade into a small group and say, this is the stuff I'm dealing with, this is my family history, these are the tendencies I don't understand, here's where I act really weird when no one's around, here's all the stuff I deal with, here's my pain, and then let those guys tell you what they think, tell you what they see you doing, tell you the patterns that they are looking at. Here's what I see, dude, right? If I were you, here's what I would consider, right? And if you're going to get hurt and you're going to go, no, you know, this is scaring me. I don't like how you said that. And I don't like the version of the Bible you're reading and all that. You're never going to make it. You're not going to form that team that can do it. And we are seeing teams form in this church that are blowing my mind. Boom. Because when we come up with problems and we're coming up with obstacles and when we're butting heads, we're fighting through it. And we're going to see a team emerge right here. They can go through the rocks and back, and we're going to do it. No push-ups. We're going to do it. We're going to be that team for each other. And we're going to hold each other to that kind of standard because we want it, and I want change, and I want to grow. I want to stop being so selfish. I want to stop being so dysfunctional. I want to come up and out of this stuff so bad. How many of you guys know, though, that if I'm choking on something, like physically, like if I had a handful of gummy bears, the other day, handful of gummy bears, I started choking in my kitchen, right? And I was thinking while everything was getting dark, when people ask my wife how I died, I hope she tells them I was killed by bears, right? I made that whole thing up. Okay. I wanted to say the bear thing because it was funny. But if I was choking on something, how much help am I going to be for any of you? If you're like, hey, Stan, I got this issue, some financial pressure. And I'm like, right? How good am I going to be to you? Probably not going to really care about what you're going through. And the same thing is personally on the inside. This is my casing, guys, right? There's a person living in here, and this person needs oxygen in the same way my body does, and that oxygen is, I need worth. I need to know I'm loved. You're going to hear it again, right? Is he going to say it again? I'm going to say it, right? I need love. I need acceptance. I need to know I'm forgiven, and I need to know that this guy is important before God. I need to know it. And if I'm drowning on a personal level, and I'm dying, and I'm going down under because I need love, how many of you know I'm not really going to be able to care about what you're going through because I'm drowning? I'm drowning, and I'm going to pull everyone down with me because I need love, I need acceptance, I need forgiveness. I need to know I'm important. Maybe I'm going to be important over here, right? Maybe I'm going to get some love over here. I'm dying, right? And this is so foundational, and I want you to know, like, where am I going to get that in this world? Where can I find security in this world? Right? How big do the walls have to be before I'm safe? How many guns? How much money? You know, whatever. I can't find it. It won't be found on this planet. I'm part of that little boy looking up into the sky, what I was searching for and longing for couldn't be found on this planet. Anxiety is the number one disorder on this planet. Anxiety. No one feels safe. And this is where the deep calls to deep. I'll show you this super quick. You guys know this, but I want you to. This is your body, gummy bear free, although it had its share. Look at it. This is your body. But this is just your casing. This Japanese-American casing inside has a person. And inside, I'm going to put the person like this. This is your personality structure. And in my personality structure, I have a bunch of negatives that are in my way I got to deal with. I got a bunch of them. And I also have some positive things about me. Not a lot, but I have some, right? And this is where that deep calls to deep, where I cry out to God and say, I can't find it on this planet. God does for me what I can't possibly do. And he gives me a brand new identity. Check it out. He moves in to me. This is what the Bible calls, guys, the inner man, your inner man, your inward man or woman, right? This is your new creation. This is your highest self, your spirit being born. Check it out. Born of God, born from above, that is absolutely secure and absolutely significant. That's it. It's a fact, right? But I have a problem, as you can see. I still have blind spots. I still have some wiring, habits, tendencies. I have generational things. I have addictions. I have this stuff that's in my way. And check this out. All right, here we go. Proverbs 15:33 tells us this. Fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. This is what we're seeing in the small groups. This is what we see in so many ways. If this guy has a large assignment over his life, if you have a large assignment over your life from God, but very poor character, you're not going to get very far. Not going to get very far. My wife and I have failed and failed and failed in this ministry. We have failed so much. We started like this sponsorship program, and everybody started adding their 2 cents until the manual was like that big. And we just laughed finally, just kicked it over and said, forget it. We had a nice little bonfire. Like, this can't work. It's too much. We tried a 2 o'clock service at the furniture store. Thought that was a great idea. Fail. We tried a big karate class where we got all these people around it and we tried to do it. Fail. We tried so many things and failed. It's okay. It's okay. We're learning and we're growing and we're coming up against stuff. And we're just determined to grow in character and learn from this stuff. And I want you to know you have an assignment over your life as a son or daughter of God with your new identity. Big assignment. And you got some character stuff. The world system is out here and is completely opposed to who you are as a spirit. Satan himself with all his minions has a program and a plan to tell you all that you need to be okay, where God says, I've already made you okay. Totally opposite. Religion says you'll be okay if God says, I've made you okay because of what I've done for you and who you are. Totally the opposite, right? You have the world, you have Satan, and you have your own flesh. Guys, you have a 600-pound log. You can't move this by yourself. I can't possibly see all the way around myself to move this stuff, to get it to budge. I can't hold myself accountable enough to do it. There's no possible way. If you're in this Christian thing for the long game, and you've got to get a boat crew around you of Navy SEALs that you have picked, that you have chosen, that are around you, that are going to hold you tight, get in your face, push you harder than you've ever pushed yourself. Love on you in the right ways, but be really hard on you in other ways. You got to have it. Glenna and I aren't just Christians from 9 to 5, even though the door kind of gives us hours. I thought it'd be funny. I'm out there chugging whiskey. Derek's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm off the clock. And me. If I move that 600-pound log, guys, who gets the credit? See? Me and my Navy SEAL team, we did it. Us and the God we serve. Boom! And our faith in him. That's what does it. That's what moves it. Very different than I'm used to operating. All right, check this out. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Did you guys hear that? An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Boom. A guy in Watermark Recovery made the statement that he knew it was time for him to heal and not just feel better. I was chasing feeling better my whole life. But there's a time to heal, and that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt. Accountability in your Navy SEAL group is a voluntary process. You put yourself in that boat with these guys and in this whole situation, the whole time it's voluntary. You can get up and leave anytime. Nope, I'm staying. I can take it. All right, let me get really blunt. We hear stuff all the time. And here's a scenario, okay? Just tell you. Okay? Guy's got a family. They're out barbecuing in the back porch. Some of the kids watching TV. And the dude gets up and he goes into his bathroom. And he's looking at stuff on his phone that he shouldn't be looking at. Okay, that's a good scenario. Hear it all the time, right? He brings that to his Navy SEAL boat crew. Okay? I want you to know something. We want to form a group in there where when this kind of stuff is coming out and we're talking about it and we're sharing it, and we scoot our chairs super close to the guy. And we love on him. And we hear where he's coming from. We form a plan. All right, what do you need? Like, what's going to take here? What's going on with you? Why do you think you're all alone? Like, as soon as you act out, you realize you're not alone, and all the shame comes down on you because you were acting like you're all alone because you feel alone. And then as soon as you do it, the shame of all your connectedness just washes over you. Dude, you just let them all down. So I want you to know you're not alone. Right? Like we do this, right? Like, dude, we all gather around. We're bad dudes. We're warriors. Not afraid to say, I love you. What you do affects me. I care about what you're doing in these situations. You affect me. I'm rooting for you. I'm out there in the night praying for you. It's me and you, and I'm laying there hurting. I'm assuming you're laying there hurting. And if you're hurting, I'm hurting. I'm not giving up because you're not giving up because we're the men, and we're going to do this. I'm going to serve God. I'm sick of bowing the knee to this garbage I want out. If you're hurting, I'm hurting. We're with you. Boom, right? And the idea is, and this has happened to me. This has actually happened to me. Me. That when I walk in that bathroom, my whole boat crew walks in with me. In my head and in my heart. They're all walking right there with me. Hey, Stan. What are we doing in here? This is about the bladder, right? And I'm like, right. Correct. And I feel my connectedness to the men. I feel connected to my mission. And the pain is like glue that bonds us together. I've never felt closer to God than when I've embraced pain. Right? This is great stuff. That's the Navy SEAL team that we need. That's the Navy SEAL team I want, and we are forming it, and it is happening. But see, I'm also going to face my memories. You're going to face memories. You're going to face tendencies that come out of your family line that you don't even understand. You're going to face stuff, and we're also going to be there with you in that too, not just behave yourself stuff, right? It's interesting, I went out to a lake this summer, and there was all these super huge pike in this lake, and they were so aggressive. You could hear them all over the lake, bam, bam, bam. They'd just rise up out of the lake and flex and go back down. I was like, did that one have a tattoo? Wow. One of them came up, he had a bear in his mouth. No, I'm just kidding. I was out there a long time. And then I saw these little cute, fuzzy little ducks getting ready to go in. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. Like, I actually put my hand in the water by the dock, and one of them hit my hand like a pike. Boom! Right? And it was like cussing at me when it hit me. Boom! Chewing tobacco. Just kidding. So I see these fuzzy little ducks, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be really cool. And they all bunched up together in this big ball, and they swam safely across. Like one big mass. And I was like, too cool. All right, let me read something to you. Entering into this fullness, your new identity, your truest self, your highest self, your spiritual self. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. Nope. You're already in. Hear this. You're already in. Insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you. Destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Tony's baptism, powerful, super moving. She went down under the water, came up out of that water, and we all cheered. And there's that physical experience that God gives us there. It says, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ, when you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. But God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. Sins forgiven, slate wiped clean, the old arrest warrant canceled, nailed to Christ's cross. See, this is a guy that can't hear from God, doesn't know who he is. There's a guy that knows how to hear from God, knows who he is. He's an insider. And it's not through some secret meeting of knowing a bunch of stuff about this. It's about knowing and receiving something so simple as God saved me. And you will be born again. You will be born again. Super, super powerful. So let me close out by saying this, guys. Again, about my small group thing. I believe you're a saint. I believe you're a saint. You are a saint. Why? Because I've been following you around this week? No. Because God tells me so. Okay? I didn't say you feel like one. I say God says you're one. I believe you are a holy one. You are holy. I believe you have access to God, clear and free. I believe all the charges against you have been dropped. I believe that you have not been given a spirit of fear. But that spirit he's given you, the first thing it says is Dad. Dad. Love on me, hold me, be with me. See, I believe that about you, but guess what? I know that you don't believe that all the time. I know that there's areas in your life where you're not believing that. And the group knows it too. The group can surround you and go, I see where you don't believe that. Isn't that crazy? Knowing that, I mean, it's like having a lotto ticket, guys. What are you going to do with a lotto ticket? Frame it? I did. You can write it down on the wall. And it's just ink on paper, if that's what we do. It's time to cash in. It's time to cash it in. This is mine. And so the small group can surround you and say, we see where you're going to fold or where you will fold if you're under the right pressure. And we're here and we're after this for you and with you. We believe the gospel with you. And we're asking you to believe. And we're going to ask you questions about self-care, how you're caring for yourself, new ways of getting comfort, new ways of dealing with pressure, new ways of dealing with pain and people around you that are brand new to you. We had to learn that stuff. What your thought life is like, repetitive thoughts, triggers. We're going to go over all that stuff in your group. And then just like an Olympic athlete, when you cross that line, we're all cheering. You didn't just win it for you. You won it for the team. Because we are all highly invested in you winning that medal. And we will see to it that you're going to win that medal. Just stick with the team. We're going to get you there, right? Isn't that cool? Isn't that crazy? All right, this is a great place to end this. I got a bunch of stuff on mission statements and stuff and all these other things. We'll just keep going here. This is about a journey that we're going to walk out, things that we're going to run into in walking out our identity. Hope you guys all come to this. I want to really challenge you to form that team around you and be determined to get it. Not people you're just comfortable with, but people that have walked this path and know and can see who you really are and know the gospel. You're not a set of behaviors. God looks at all these behaviors and he'll trace it right down to the root and go, that's what I want to heal. The root. And we're there to go after it with you. Guys, come back next week. Hear the next sessions on this. We're going to keep right on going.